Please take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 3. Let's stand together, if you would, the baptism of Jesus. And as we have taught on many occasions, baptism does not save. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but also of the old man, buried and risen again new. But the book of Luke, chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then verse 38, if you would please. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for the songs that are sung, for the monies given at the offering, for the reminder of the mission conference. And Lord, now as we look into your word, may we be encouraged to serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. I wish I was 30. I remember when I turned 30, I was given a surprise birthday party over at the home of Dennis and Sharon Smith. We were picked up by Jerry and Lynn Lefevre. They had said, we're going to go out to eat. And so we're heading up the freeway over here, M53. And at 23 Mile Road, he got off and he said, oh, I forgot something at home. And he was very calm about it. And I thought, that's strange. And then he went over to Shaner instead of getting back onto the freeway, and I said, this is very strange. And I suddenly thought, we're not going to his house, we're going to the Smiths. And sure enough, when we pulled up to the Smiths, there were people there, and they threw me a party, and I thought to myself, I wish I wasn't 30. But I wish I was 30 now, especially now as I'm cruising towards twice that amount in just a few months. Oh well, but Jesus himself was 30 years old. Luke is the only one of the gospel writers that mentions his age. It was believed at the age of 30, human personality reaches its maturity. So if you're not 30, you're not quite yet mature. And if you're above 30 and you haven't matured, well, I'm not sure when it's going to happen. But Joseph was 30 when he went before Pharaoh and began his great work. The Mosaic law of the Levites, whereas they entered upon priestly courses at 20, were not allowed to take full work until they were 30. David took the throne when he was 30. 30 is an important time. Jesus, at about the age of 30, was to begin his earthly ministry. If you would, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 31. Let's look at some phases of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, we find this, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Mary is told before the birth what the name should be. It would not have mattered what they were going to call him. He was to be known as Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 21. And when in 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. His name is Jesus. There's something about that name. Verse 27, if you would please. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, we find that Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Notice verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. He's 12 years old. It may have been his first trip to Jerusalem. And here the child Jesus is talking with the doctors there in the synagogue. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. I hope you are increasing in favor with God. I hope God can use you. I hope God wants to use you. I hope you want to be used of God. I hope that you don't say, well, Pastor Paul can do it, or Pastor Stephen can do it, or someone else can do it. No, I hope you want to do it, and that you are increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. We find in this portion of scripture we read as our text, verse 21 of chapter 3, that Jesus also being baptized. And then verse 23, and Jesus himself began. Folks, it's a good time to begin to serve the Lord. It's a good time to begin to be called a born-again believer of Christ. May I say this, we live in a world that is lost. On Wednesday night, I asked our people to describe today's society, and we had all kinds of thoughts, including the fact of one of unrest. And we live in a world that is full of unrest. We see it again and again in suicides and murder suicides and in murders and people killing people they don't even know. We live in a world that's full of unrest. Notice it says there, as was supposed, or according to the law. According to the law, Jesus was the son, according to the law of Joseph, that is not the actual son, but the adopted son. For he is from heaven, and he is not of an earthly father. The Holy Spirit implanted Mary when he hovered over her. The genealogy of Jesus is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. As we know, each Gospel shows Christ from a different perspective. We find Matthew portrayed him as a king, and a king needs a genealogy, and one is given. Mark showed him as a servant. No servant needs a genealogy, and none is given. Luke shows him as a man, and it's nice to have a genealogy. If you may know your background, and I can go back a couple of generations. I have a grandfather that came from France. I have a grandfather that came from Italy. My grandmothers were here in the country a little bit longer. And I know a little bit about my past. John chose him as the Son of God. And there is no genealogy necessary for God. Matthew says that Joseph was the son of Jacob. Luke says that Joseph was the son of Heli. Now, is this a contradiction? Jacob says that he was the son of Jacob. The book of Matthew says that. Luke says that he was the son of Heli. How do we take care of that? Well, we find that Jacob was Joseph's natural father. We find that Heli was Joseph's father-in-law. And so we have the father and we have the father-in-law. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you got along with your father-in-law or your mother-in-law, but it's a good thing if you do, right? Now, I got along and still do get along with my mother-in-law because it's her fault that Donna and I got married. Now you say, well, how's that? Well, ask Donna. She'll tell you. Her mother prayed that she would marry me long before we even dated. And God answered her prayer, and Don has been upset at her ever since. No, I think she likes it. She finally put up with it, or came to the realization, I can't do anything about it. I'm married to the guy. It'll be 40 years this year, in June. June the 8th, I still remember after 40 years. That's right. But Matthew and Luke have the same genealogy from Abraham to David. But from David, we find that Joseph came through David, son of Solomon. And we find that Mary came through David, son of Nathan. Both of them had the royal blood in them. It was important that Jesus Christ should come through David. that he was a Jew, that he was of the tribe of Judah. But in verses 21 and 22, we have the baptism of Christ. We know that John the Baptizer had baptized many, those who had showed fruits of repentance, those that had repented, and then by their works you could tell that they were baptized. I had a man that used to attend our church. He no longer attends here, but he said he didn't believe people should be baptized until they proved that they were born again believers. And he may have had a good point. But we find that John the Baptizer baptized and was baptizing one day when Jesus came. And he said, I need to be baptized of you. And John the Baptist at first said, no, how can I baptize you? You are the Messiah. But Jesus said, no, you must baptize me. Baptism is not a picture of one who has been saved because of baptism. One is baptized because they have accepted Christ as their Savior. Baptism will never get you into heaven. I don't care if you're baptized every week for 50 years, it won't get you into heaven. But one is baptized because they are being faithful to the Lord's command to be baptized. We are being baptized to show our faith in the Lord. It makes you a member of that church. Jesus was not a sinner. He did not need to be cleansed from sin. But he himself showed that he would die, be buried, and would rise again from the dead. We'll be celebrating that in just three weeks' time, won't we? Do you like this time of year? The thinking of Christ and what he did for us. Some call it Passion Week. Some call it Holy Week. May I say, remember what he did for you. See, Christ went to Jerusalem on purpose to be arrested, to be hung upon a cross, to rise again from the dead. He did it on purpose. May we note the attitude of Jesus during his baptism. He prayed. I hope you prayed for the Covenant Baptist Church yesterday. I hope you prayed that the pastor would have a sermon that would honor the Lord and would touch our hearts. See, we need to have the right attitude, an attitude of prayer. A prayer is a petition where we make requests of the Lord. A prayer is that of thanksgiving. Oh, we need to thank the Lord here in America. We have been blessed beyond measure. We have such a blessing. And though we may have potholes in our roads, at least we have cars to drive. And though our gas may be $3 plus, we have gas to purchase. May I say this? I was reading in England, the gas is about $8.50 a gallon. So be glad you're here, folks. Be glad. But also a prayer is supplication to make an appeal. May I say this? I'm making an appeal to you that you will be with us through our mission conference. See, I'm praying that each and every one of you will be at our mission conference because I believe it's important that we get the vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. I hope that you will desire to be here and to be part of our mission conference. He was praying in an attitude of adoration and of worship and of submission to God the Father. See, man needed a Savior. And the Lord did not send Gabriel. He did not send Michael. He did not send any of the angels. He came himself. For only he could pay the price. We see him praying on seven different occasions in the book of Luke. Seven times we find Christ praying. Do you think it's important to pray? Now, maybe that question caught you off guard because only a few of you answered. Maybe you're pondering it. I'll ask it again. Do you think it's important to pray? More of you are in agreement. I think it's important that we pray. In fact, I would ask you to pray for me every day. I'm selfish, yes, but I need your prayers. We need to pray for one another. We need to remember not only Irma Sevier, who had her surgery and now is home. We need to remember her in prayer, yes, but there are others who are going through difficult times. We need to be in prayer service at 5:30 on a Sunday night to hear the burdens on people's hearts. Prayer. If you would, take your Bibles here in the book of Luke to chapter 5 and verse 16. Chapter 5 and verse 16. And it says in Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We need to turn off the noise. One of the things that was the world was described the other day, I believe, Michelle, you said the world was noisy. We live in a noisy world. There are so many things going on, and sometimes it's hard to just get away from the noise. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off the computer. Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. Get alone by yourself and pray. Jesus did. And if Jesus thought it important enough to get away and pray, we should follow his example. We need to pray. If you would, the book of Luke chapter 6. Before a major decision here of calling the 12, Jesus is going to pray. May I say this? Make decisions in prayer. Verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, which also he named apostles. Before this decision, he prayed. There are many decisions in our life, and we need to pray about it. We need to pray. If you would, chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. Luke 9, beginning at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. So there are times that you pray alone when nobody's around, you're away from everything, and then there are times you are praying alone when other people are with you. And he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. But he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. You are the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for. But he prayed even when he was with other people. We need to be willing to pray. In fact, some of you may even want to pray right now for someone in our midst that may not know Christ as their Savior. There may be someone right now in our midst that's going through a difficult situation in their life. There may be a major decision that has to be made, and pray that they make the right decision. Praying. This same chapter, verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. We find here that they're going to be praying, or he is praying, because of the fact that he is going to die. We find in verse 30, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They were with him when he prayed about what was coming. We need to pray for strength. See, Jesus knew no sin. See, we are used to sin. We do it so often, a lot of times we don't even know we're sinning. I'm going to be giving blood tomorrow. Rudy and I have kind of begun to team up a little bit to remind each other to give blood, and we're going down the street here to give blood. And a number of years ago, I stopped at a church where I was giving blood, and this man that was there at the cookie table, you do know that when you give blood, you get cookies afterwards. Yeah, you get apple juice or orange juice and water, and sometimes they have pretzels, and so that's why you give blood, folks, so you can. I know there's simpler ways to get those things, aren't there? But anyways, as he was giving me a cookie, he cussed. And I said, sir, I said, why are you cussing? He goes, I didn't cuss. I said, sir, I just heard you. And I told him, well, I used the first initial of the word he just used. He goes, I didn't say that. I said, yes, sir, you did. A little bit later, he did it again. I'm thinking, you're in a church. I said, are you a member of this church? He goes, yes. He goes, I've been going here for years. I thought, whoa. You know, sometimes we are influenced by the world and we just begin to act like them. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're sinning. We need to pray that the Lord would give us strength to do the right things. Christ knew no sin. And on the cross, he was going to bear my sins and your sins and the sins of the world. Would you say that would weigh heavy upon his life? Would you say that would weigh heavy upon him? And he saw this coming and he needed to encourage himself. And he did so in prayer. How important it is that we are willing to pray and pray. Chapter 11, if you would please, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, usually when one quotes the Lord's Prayer, it's from the book of Matthew, and not here from the book of Luke. But the disciples said, teach us to pray. Why did they ask Jesus to teach them to pray? Because they had seen Jesus praying. We need to pray. We should not be ashamed to bow our head at lunch, at work. We should not be ashamed to bow our head when we're over here eating our lunch today, wherever you may be going. We should not be afraid to pray, thanking the Lord for what he has done on our behalf. And then the book of Luke chapter 22. On 7 different occasions, we find Christ praying. I hope that we pray regularly. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Folks, we're to pray that the Lord would keep us from temptation. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Do we always have to kneel to pray? No, we don't. In fact, I would encourage you that when you're driving down the road and you're praying, that you're not kneeling. But I would encourage you to pray in your car. I think that's a good time to pray. But we find here that he kneeled down and prayed in verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You know, don't, if there's another way, don't make me have to go through the trials that it's going to come my way, the mockeries, the plucking of my beard, the clanging of the thorns on my head, the beatings that I will endure, the hanging upon the cross. If this doesn't have to be, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When we are in communication with our Lord, we are more willing to do His will. If we are not in communication with the Lord, then most likely we are not doing His will. Now ponder what I just said there. If you are not in communication with your Lord, you are not doing His will because you don't know what it is. It's when we are in prayer that we will be shown His will. Have you prayed today for the Lord's will in your life? Have you prayed concerning His will and the upcoming mission conference? If you don't pray about it, you cannot fulfill His will. Back at His baptism, we know that the Holy Spirit came down as a dove. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a dove, but He came down at that occasion in the form of a dove so that He could be seen. We know that the Father spoke out. We find here the picture of the Trinity. God the Son being baptized, God the Holy Spirit coming down, and God the Father saying that He was pleased, that He is the beloved Jesus, and that He was pleased with Him. Shall we stand together? Is our Lord pleased with us today? You know, that's a mighty important question. Is the Lord pleased today? We're going to be singing a song of invitation, number 388. Is your all on the altar today? Is your all on the altar today? Have you asked Him for His will to be done in your life? Maybe this morning you need to come and pray and say, Lord, what is Your will for my life? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that during this invitation time that You would bless and that You would encourage, touch hearts, Lord. We pray, Lord, for that one that may not know Thee as Savior today, that this would be that day, for today is the day of salvation. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. We ask now, Lord, You would bless. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.